This morning we're going to be in Acts chapter 8, if you would turn there. This is one of those passages that I preached on several years ago, but I love the way you can open a passage and God can open your eyes and your heart to something completely different than anything you've ever seen before out of that passage. And that's kind of what He done to me this week. I kind of fought it a little bit and wasn't going to preach this passage because I didn't want to go back to this passage, and it ended up being where I was supposed to be. Let me rephrase that, where I'm supposed to be. And I think it's something that each one of us can get to or should get to. And I'm having trouble getting there sometimes, I'll be honest with you. And so this morning we're going to start in verse 26 of chapter 8. So if you would read along. Said, "Now the angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is desert. So he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charged all of her treasure, had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning. And sitting in his chariot, he was reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said to Philip, Go near and overtake the chariot. So Philip ran to him, heard him reading the prophet Isaiah, and said, Do you understand what you're reading? And he said, How can I unless someone guides me? And he asked Philip to come up and sit with him. The place where the scripture he was reading was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter. As a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his justice was taken away. And who will declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. So the eunuch answered Philip and said, I ask you, of whom does the prophet say this? Of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with this scripture, preached Jesus to him. Now as they went down the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, See, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized? Then Philip said, If you believe with all of your heart, you may. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So he commanded the chariot to stand still, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. Now when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away, so that the eunuch saw him no more. And he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found in Azotus. Passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. Let's pray. Father God in heaven, we lift to you your word. Lord, we thank you and we praise you for all you've done. But Lord, as you bring your word to us today, I pray that it would be all about you. I pray that you would receive the glory. I pray that you would receive honor. Lord, I pray you would change us, that we would not go out of this place the same as we came in because of you. Jesus, mold us and make us. In your name we pray. Amen. Now, a little backup to this scripture is Philip was preaching, and the persecution of the church broke out because of Saul, who would later become Paul. But persecution broke out, and they were scattered. And Philip was one of those that scattered. And when he scattered, he went to Samaria. And so he began to preach in Samaria. And it tells us, if we go back, and I'm just going to kind of paraphrase through this, it says multitudes began to hear him preach. It says that unclean spirits would come out of people, that the lame and the paralyzed would be healed, and there were great miracles going on in his ministry. And it says there was great joy among the multitudes. Things were going really good. And then God spoke to him. An angel spoke to him in this passage, and he said, I want you to go down to the desert. Didn't say why. He didn't say to see who. He just said, arise and go. Go down this road that leads into the desert. Well, that's one man in this passage. Now we're going to look at the other man. The other man is an Ethiopian eunuch. He's a high official. He's in charge of the treasury. He is a very popular person. He is in charge of the Queen of Ethiopia's treasury. And that's some power that this man had. And probably he was also very well off, because as we read, he has found himself sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah. It wasn't like our day where everybody has a Bible. If you had the book of Isaiah, it cost you something. And so he was probably very popular, very powerful because of his position, and obviously very well off. But that wasn't enough. He's in North Africa, Ethiopia, in North Africa. And that's where he's at. And he wants to go to Jerusalem to worship. So he had some religious knowledge. But have you ever checked to see how far that is? 1,500 miles by chariot. Scholars say that they would have averaged maybe 20 miles a day. 20 miles a day riding in a chariot. And it was probably a caravan of more than just him. But he's traveling 20 miles a day in this chariot. And he has got 1,500 miles to go. So it's probably going to take him about 75 days one way. This man, we could learn a lot from this man right here. He was willing to travel 75 days in a chariot to worship God. Some of us groaned about setting our clock back or forward. This man really had religion. He wanted to worship God. What he knew of God, he wanted to worship. So much so that he's going to travel 1,500 miles to worship God. He wanted to get to Jerusalem because he knew that was the worship center of God. And so that's where he's at. He's on his way. He goes to worship God. He comes back. He's on his way home. He's returning. And then it tells us that he's sitting in his chariot in the desert. And God begins to do something in his sovereignty that was begun a long time before that. But you take this man, Philip, out of this good, comfortable ministry. As comfortable as it could be with the persecution that broke out. But multitudes and miracles and all the blessings going on in his ministry, and everything was really good. And God pulls him out of that and pushes him into the desert. And here sits this man in this chariot that is in need. He knows there's something more out there. He had all the popularity. He had all the power. He had all the money. But there was more out there. And so as God brings these two together, I want you to see their attitude. Because that's where we need to be today. Everybody in this room needs to have one of these two men, if not both of these two men's attitude. Let's look first at this Ethiopian. The desire to worship was so strong. 75 days one way, 75 back. We don't know how long he was in Jerusalem. But most of you, if you've been on vacation, even for a week or two, how long do you pack ahead of time? You start preparing 2 or 3 days in advance so you don't forget something. And if you're going to be gone for 150 days, you've got to prepare enough food. You've got to pack enough supplies to get you there to where you can purchase more to get you back. And so he is preparing to go and be gone more than 150 days because he wants to worship God. What did you do this morning to prepare to worship God? If I was going to stop and say right now, okay, I'm going to put this on a mileage meter to say, Steve, how many miles did you really travel? Not from here to my house. I know what that is. But really, spiritually, how many miles did you travel to get ready for worship today? That's what we need to ask ourselves. Because we think sometimes because we walk into this place or someplace like this, and somebody sets down behind the keyboard or some other instrument, that immediately we're going to begin to worship. That's not the way it works. We can sing, we can play instruments, we can do all of these things, but that doesn't make it worship. Worship begins at the heart. And if I think I can walk through that door and turn my heart on and be ready to worship, I'm missing what worship is. Because worship is more than just singing, lifting our voice, and praising God. Worship is your lifestyle. Worship is Saturday evening. It's Thursday night. It's Tuesday morning. It's every day. What you do with your life is your worship. We are misunderstood when we say that to come in and we have worship and then we have preaching. No. Worship should be before we even get here. It may be enhanced by the music. It may be enhanced by sitting around other Christians and lifting our voice and praising God. It will be enhanced, but that's not where it begins. It's got to begin with you at home. Because worship is personal before it can ever be public. This man is in this chariot. He's going to worship. And he finds himself in the desert because he's needing something else. Worship, that he's going to a place to worship. And he puts forth a lot of effort and a lot of time to get to that place to go worship. And I think that's part of his problem. Because when he got there, it tells us nothing about what took place. It says he went to worship, and now he's returning. So when he went to worship, did it turn out like it does sometimes for us? When we come to church and we expect to worship, and we walk in, we want to turn it on, we want to worship, and when we go to walk out, we turn it off. And we go back home. And we wait for next week. This man travels 1,500 miles with the intent to worship. And it tells us nothing about it. Except that he wasn't satisfied with what he got out of worship. He took the book of Isaiah and he's reading it as he's going back. And some scholars want to say that the chariot had stopped and he was reading it. Others want to say that it was moving and Philip had to run alongside it and overtake it. Doesn't really matter. What matters is this man was reading the book of Isaiah because he wanted more than he got in Jerusalem. Now we know because of the passage that he did not know Jesus, because Philip's going to preach Jesus to him. But he was not satisfied with what he knew. He's willing to travel 1,500 miles. To worship. Are you willing to travel 1,500 miles to worship? No. We're not going to do that. And we could get there a whole lot quicker than 75 days. But what we have to understand is that this man, as he began to realize, he may have liked what he got in Jerusalem, but he wasn't satisfied. He wanted more. And when you walk out of this place, if you're satisfied, something's wrong. When you walk out of here, you should want more. Because what I'm going to give you is not enough. This singing is not enough. If you get enough at any point, you let me know where you've been, because I don't know where that would be. Because we can never get enough. If we get enough, we'd be satisfied. And we wouldn't be reading the Scripture like he is. He's not only reading the Scripture, he's asking questions. When Philip runs up and says, "Do you understand?" He said, "No, I don't. How can I? Can you tell me? Come up in my chariot and talk to me. Let me know." This man had a desire to worship. He had a desire to know more than he got from worship. He had a desire to get from what somebody else that might know. Are we there? And this man's lost.
He doesn't even know Jesus. He knows about God. He's going to worship God. But when Philip tells him about Jesus, he becomes a believer in Jesus. So we've got a man here that had all the popularity, all the power, and all the money, and knew it wasn't enough. He had religion and knew that wasn't enough. And he wanted more, so he would travel, he would search, he would read, he would ask, because he was never satisfied. Are you? Am I? Are we satisfied with what we get? We shouldn't be. But sometimes because I got more than I had, so I'm okay. I'll get more next week. It's kind of like when we go to the grocery store. I get just enough to get me by, and then I'll go back next week. That's not what it's about. It's about going and searching and reading and asking and never being satisfied with what you have. That's the Ethiopian. Now let's look at Philip. This is tough. I'll be honest with you. Scared me. I'm going to be point blank honest with you. This scared me. Because God is taking a man who is good and comfortable in a great ministry where he's at, and God says, I'm going to move you now. And as a pastor of a great church, that scared me to death. I thought, oh man, he's having me preach this message, so I'm going to end up on a desert road somewhere. I'm honest, I scared me to death. Still scares me. But the bottom line is, Philip was comfortable. He was in a good place. He was satisfied. He was doing good things. And all of a sudden, God says, okay, now I'm going to see if you'll listen to me. And here we know that God sent an angel of the Lord that spoke to Philip. You know, sometimes I think people in the New Testament and the Old Testament had it so easy. They didn't, but sometimes in my mind I think, man, they had it so easy. There was no doubt that Philip was supposed to go to the desert road. Because an angel of the Lord spoke to him, and whether it was a visual angel or whether it was just the angel of the Lord spoke to him in an audible voice, I don't know. But the angel of the Lord spoke to him and said, you need to arise and go. Now, a lot of times when God speaks to us, it's in this book. And I'm not saying He can't speak to us audibly. I'm not saying He can't speak to us in our heart, in our mind, because He does, through music, through so many things, through other people. God speaks to us in so many different ways. We cannot confine God to a box. He will speak to us how He wishes. But the problem is we have to listen. And a lot of times God doesn't speak because He knows Steve's not going to listen. The angel of the Lord speaks to Paul, and Paul listens. Paul listens to what he has to say. Are you willing to listen? Because if you're not willing to listen, then don't expect Him to speak. Because He already knows you're not going to listen. You have to be willing to listen. They joke all the time about how... I remember we went to Promise Keepers years ago and they talked about Gary Smalley was... And I'm just repeating Gary Smalley, so you can get mad at him if you want to. But he said that women would speak 8,000 to 9,000 words a day. And men would speak about 3. So by the time I get home, I'm all used up. And she's just getting warmed up. It's an issue. And so what happens with most men? Click. I don't hear it. She's talking and I hear her, but I don't hear her because my mind is shut down. Philip was listening. We have to listen for God. He wants to speak to us. Then Philip left.
that good, comfortable place. Are you willing to leave where you're at right now for God? That's scary. Are you willing to leave the good and comfortable and safe, that comfort zone that you have? Man, my job's good, my house is good, my kids are good, life is good. Are you willing to leave the good for the desert? Now, if it's, you know, that opportunity, I'm willing to leave here. You know, if I'm teaching or working in this office or whatever I'm doing, I'm willing to leave that for a better office and a better job. And we're all that way. But are you willing to leave multitudes of people listening to you preach and miracles being performed, the lame and the paralyzed and unclean spirits being cast out and God's work being done? Are you willing to leave that for the desert road where you don't even know who you're going to see? You don't even know why you're going. Abraham left, didn't even know where he was going. Are you willing to leave the comfortable? And there are times when God may just want to know if you're willing to leave. There was a time when we thought we were being called to another church, and I may have shared this, and I just did not want to go and did not want to go and did not want to go until I finally realized what God had for me. When I said, "Okay, God, we'll go," He said, "No, I just wanted to know if you were willing." Sometimes God just wants to know if we're willing. Sometimes He wants us to move. Are you willing to leave the comfortable? The next thing with Philip, he wasn't just willing to leave, he left. He went out on this desert road. He went out there knowing. God just says, go. In Matthew, He says, go. And as you go, preach the gospel. Matthew 28, go ye therefore. Go. You can't go when you're sitting still. It doesn't work that way. We have to understand that God wants to speak, so we need to listen. God has someplace else, so we have to leave the comfortable. God doesn't have to tell us where, but we've got to be willing to go. And then the last part of this seems like it should be so easy. He was willing to share. Man, he had no idea who this guy was. But if we can even imagine what that chariot might have looked like, he's in charge of the treasury of the queen of Ethiopia. It probably wasn't some broken down chariot. It was probably a pretty nice rig. And Philip has to go up and talk to somebody he doesn't know. Somebody he's not comfortable with. Somebody that's pretty well off and may not need anything. He doesn't know until he gets there. Are you willing to go? And then when you get there to where God sends you, are you going to share Jesus? Well, they'll just see it in my life. That's the easiest way. Picture's worth a thousand words. Our actions speak louder than words. Then why does He tell us to share words about Jesus? Because words are personal. I can watch your life and I can see you live for Jesus. But when you speak to me, it is personal. And that's what a relationship with Jesus is about. It's personal. Philip was willing to listen. He was willing to leave. He was willing to go. He was willing to share Jesus. Now, I want to look at this passage here because there's something very important. And it seems like it's almost left out or jumped over. And I think it's the most important thing. You have this Ethiopian eunuch who is lost. He does not know who Jesus is. You have this preacher that has been pushed out into the desert to speak and share Jesus. And we know that's the case. And then it's going to go on and tell us that that this Ethiopian eunuch believes, and with all of his heart, that Jesus is Christ, is the Son of God. But you know what? This passage in verse 35 says, "And Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with that, at this scripture, preached Jesus to him." And I'm not a preacher. I can't preach Jesus to somebody. He shared Jesus with him. Well, what is there to share in Jesus? We could go through this passage and we can jump right straight from Philip being brought there to meet the Ethiopian eunuch. They sat down, they talked, they baptized the Ethiopian eunuch, and they both go their own way. And we miss the best part. We miss the preaching of Jesus. The world today, that's where we're at. We want to do the things. We want to be where God wants us to be, and we want to share with the people that need things, and sometimes it's easier to share finances or material things than it is to share Jesus. But none of this takes place. All of this after the finding the water and the being baptized and the Spirit taking Philip away, none of that happens if he doesn't preach Jesus. Well, what is preaching Jesus? You all know that scripture, John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life." We also have to, we can't stop there, because it says in 18, "If you don't believe in Him, you stand condemned already, because you have not believed in the only begotten Son of God." That's sharing Jesus. God loves you enough. He's telling this Ethiopian eunuch, God loved you and He sent Jesus. And if you don't believe in Jesus, then you stand condemned already. The Scriptures tell us, 1 Corinthians 15, that Jesus was there and that He died for our sins. He was buried, and on the third day He rose again, according to the Scriptures. He's sharing with him. Then he says, if you'll confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. Everybody in here knows everything I just said in those three passages. You know what God's done. You know what Jesus did on the cross. You know that it's as simple. If you believe with all of your heart that Jesus is the Lord and what He's done for you, if you know that, why don't you share that? Because if we do everything, if I leave Samaria and if I go to the desert road and I see Him up there and He doesn't understand, and I say, well, you know, when you get down the road, find somebody that can explain that to you. No. Somewhere, there's an Ethiopian out there waiting on you. And that means you have to share Jesus with someone. It's that simple. So as I close today, my prayer is this. It's going to sound strange, but my prayer is that you find yourself in the desert. If you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, then you need to have the attitude of this Ethiopian. You need to understand that power and popularity and money and even religion will not be enough to satisfy you. God has created us with a God-shaped void inside us that only He can fill. Nothing else, people, houses, jobs, nothing else will fill that void. Drugs, sex, all the things that this world tries to fill that void with will never work. It's made for God. It's a relationship with Him. And so if you've never accepted Christ in your life, then my prayer is you find yourself in the desert. You need to look outside your chariot and see where you are. Well, things are going fine. I'm sitting here in a nice chariot. But you're still in the desert. if you don't know Jesus, you're in the desert and there's no life in the desert. That's where it's coming to. Now, maybe you've accepted Christ and you've got to a point where you still feel like things are just not where they should be because your desire to worship God is 2 hours a week. Well, Pastor, you're getting pretty rude. No, I'm not. Because that's where we are. That's where our society is. Is we can find church, we can find worship to God to a few hours on Sunday and maybe Wednesday and maybe a Bible study here and there. And that's not how it's supposed to work. We are to worship God. We are to see that if it takes me going to the desert and seeing the things around me that are not going to work, then I will do one thing. I will call out and I will search and I will read and I will move and I will do whatever it takes. I will ask to see where I can know more about God if I'm not satisfied. Are you willing to listen, leave, go, and share? 2 out of 3, 2, 3 out of 4, 2 out of 4. You're asking a lot if you're wanting 4 out of 4. I'm not asking. I'm just reading the Scripture. I want you to get to a point as a Christian that we understand what it means to really want to know God. Because if He's not a priority to you, then He will not be important to your children. If He's not important to your children, He won't even be known by your grandchildren. I am so blessed that my grandparents, they used to live in Greenville. And they went to church here in Stockton. My grandpa hauled coal in the back of a dump truck during the week. You know what they did on Sunday morning? They put the kids in the back of the dump truck and drove to Stockton. Because my grandma and grandpa wanted them to be in church. And that's probably how God got me where I'm at today. Because if it's not important to you, it won't be important to your kids and won't even be known to your grandkids. And the scariest thing in the world is to sit here and think, if you're a parent or a grandparent, to think about the fact that your grandkids won't know Jesus. And it's a trickle-down effect. We have to understand that. So wherever you're at, I pray you find yourself in the desert. Because only when we find ourselves in the desert do we starve for living water. And that is Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we just come before You and we thank You for this day. We thank You for Your Word. Lord, move in this place. We want to feel Your Spirit. We want to learn from You. We want to know You. Lord, use us. Teach us. Draw us to You. Convict us. Encourage us. Whatever You have to do, Lord, do not let us go from this place the same as we came in. In Your name I pray. Amen.